Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
We were chatting in the office earlier and we decided, sure, we'd get you to pick your Ireland team for the weekend and we'd go through. Is it easier, do you think, to second-guess Mick McCarthy than it would have been to second-guess Martin O'Neill?
I think it's probably easier to second-guess any manager rather than trying to second-guess Martin O'Neill. That's what one thing that proved so difficult, Damien, because even, and we've heard it since, obviously, from players and stuff, even in preparation, I'm sure even the media lads who were out who might get a glimpse of things that are going on found it very hard to gauge just how he was going to go on a match day. The fact that the players were only finding out themselves an hour and a half beforehand, he was very, very difficult to second guess. I think it might be slightly easier with Mick, because Mick seems very straight down the middle. There's no kind of, I don't think there's going to be any hidden secrets with Mick. It'll be very kind of an up and at 'em approach, I suppose. They will be much better organised, but the fact that it's his first game, probably there's a challenge in trying to predict the fact that it's the first game. But I've had a stab at it, Damien, yeah, and I've kind of gone for players who I feel have had consistency all year in playing in actual game time, so they've represented their clubs a lot this year, and they've been consistent in those performances as well. So starting off with the goalkeeper,
we'll go through it in a minute. So you've gone 4-4-1-1, and we're going to chat through it in a minute, but in advance of that, let's hear from two players who may well feature over the weekend in the first of these back-to-back Euro 2020 qualifiers. We'll hear from Shamrock Rovers' Jack Byrne in just a moment. A lot of talk that he could well finally become the first domestic player in a quarter of a century to play for Ireland competitively. But first, let's hear from the Wolves wing back Matt Doherty, who moved from Bows to Wolves under Mick McCarthy. So how different does he see his former club manager now that he's back in the international setting?
Yeah, well, I think he's a very good manager. Firstly, from my time at Wolves when I was there, he kind of took care of me when I was in a few sticky situations. And already you can see, even in the little bits of training, he knows exactly what he wants us to do. We haven't done huge shape sessions, but even the little things, he might stop and just little pointers here or there. The next few days, we'll probably get more of an idea of what he wants.
Is there anything else, do you think, behind why you personally are having such a good season?
Oh, I just think that I'm good enough. I've got myself a lot fitter, which probably helps also. Confidence is everything. I'm super confident at the moment.
The number of assists and goals, is that something that you are pleasantly surprised by?
No, actually, no. I don't know what I said yet. I should have had a few more, actually, because I've missed not easy chances, but very, very good chances. I think I've got in all competitions 6 goals, 7 assists. So, yeah, look, that's pretty good. I can't really sniff at that.
I left Man City. I signed for Wigan. I signed 3.5-year deal, and 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, the manager was gone that signed me. Like, so you can't dwell on these things, and you never think that's going to happen when you're in that situation. You know, I was leaving it was a big decision for me to leave Man City at the time. I had 2 years left on my contract. I could have easily stayed there and went back out on loan to Holland or done something like that. I wanted to try and prove that I was ready for men's football, and the gamble obviously didn't pay off at the time, and you know, sometimes you just have to reset. And I'm still only 22 as well, like, you know, so.
That's Jack Byrne and Matt Doherty speaking to Dave Kelly. Jack Byrne, who went around the press room and shook hands with every member of the media in advance of the press conference. Well, which is a touch of class when you consider a lot of sports people don't even acknowledge someone's existence. So,
if anyone's following my Twitter account, then a few are.
I've
been raving about this lad the last 2 weeks. I'm sure Mick McCarthy must have been following it as well. Yeah. But the fact that Mick was at the match obviously helped Jack, because last Friday night, Alison, he was absolutely outstanding. And the fact that he got called in, as I say, Mick was at the game. And I think he has a real chance of playing.
Okay, well, he's not in your starting 11,
but
he was very, very close. So you've gone 4-4-1-1.
Yeah.
Matt Doherty is in your starting lineup, but we will come to that in due course. Realistically, there's only one decision to be made in goal.
Yeah, Randolph, yeah. Okay. So that's fine.
We won't go too long over
regular Middlesbrough.
Right, you've gone for a back four.
Back four, Damien, yeah, because I think with the personnel that he has available, it probably suits them best. And there's this debate over Coleman and Doherty and what's he going to do. So I feel as though he will go with Seamus, and Seamus will be his captain at right full, and rightly so. He's been a brilliant servant. He's had an up and down time since coming back from a really bad injury. But I think in the recent weeks, he's played very well, and he's had 23 appearances this year. So Seamus will play right full and be the captain.
Okay, centre backs.
Centre half, Shane Duffy's been outstanding since he's come into the squad, really. Over the last two or three years, he's been absolutely brilliant, and he's kind of become a leadership figure in that back four, playing really well at Brighton every week, 26 appearances, 5 goals. So he'll be at the back, partnered by John Egan, who's having a tremendous season at Sheffield United. He moved there last summer for $4 million, 37 appearances. He started every game, played every match so far, and they're on the verge of promotion, and so he'll partner Duffy.
Okay, I'll come back to you on that in a second, but give me your left back then.
Enda Stevens, a lad I know really well, and again playing every week beside John Egan at Sheffield United, played in a great game at the weekend against Leeds. I think he's made 37 appearances, Enda, as well, and I feel he'll play left full, and rightly so as well. I think he's having a brilliant season.
Okay, so a couple of questions. Richard Keogh, do you go with Egan at full back because of that partnership with Stevens, or is Keogh hard done by?
I don't think he's hard done by, no. I think, as I said, I'm picking lads who are played, have been very consistent in terms of their club form, and Duffy picks himself. But I think Egan's been terrific in it. Like, I was only thinking about the weekend, the Championship must be the most competitive division in world football. Like, it's unbelievable, that Championship. The fact that the amount of games you play Tuesday, Saturday, it takes, I think it's 30, nearly 40 games to get promoted. He's played in 37 so far, and he's been outstanding, and I'd have him in on merit.
Okay, left back, you weren't tempted to put Doherty in at left back?
No, I think the fact that Enda plays alongside Egan will help him too.
Okay.
The two of them, because they have a partnership at club level, and that'll obviously flow into the international scene as well.
But that's the one area that we're a little bit short on bodies.
It is, because Ward obviously retired. People were suggesting he could still maybe do a job, but I think at some point you have to think of the future as well.
Okay.
And I think Enda deserves his chance.
Okay, so no Matt Doherty across the back four, which means you have him in midfield.
Yeah, he'll play right side of a four, Damien, and I know it's slightly different because they play wing backs obviously with Wolves, but he'll do that job no problem. And the fact that we're playing Gibraltar, I've named two wingers who are very attack minded. Obviously Doherty gets up and down for Wolves, he's a 30 appearances, 3 goals, played really well, he's having an outstanding season. And James McLean on the other side, I've gone for, again, very attack minded.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Give me your centre midfielders and I'll ask you what I was going to ask you.
This was the one area where I was a little bit torn, and probably because of the opposition that we're playing, and I'd be very attack minded as well and a positive person, so I was kind of torn between playing two attacking midfielders. But there probably has to be some bit of pragmatism in it as well. So I've gone for Jeff Hendrick, who's had a sticky enough early part of the season, but he's come into the team at Burnley now in recent weeks, and he's doing quite well. So I've gone for him in the centre, and I've gone for Harry Arthur alongside him, who will protect the back four better than anyone else, I feel, in the squad.
Did Glenn Whelan come close?
Possibly, but again, I'm like, I know Mick has called him in, and it's probably because Mick is there on a short term view. But again, I feel Glenn has had his time, and at some point you start to move on.
He's playing well.
He is, in fairness, in Villa.
Or do you have to approach this as two games in quick succession, that the same team can't play the two games? So where do you play? Like, you know, what way do you mix and match?
Yeah, like, well, the fact that we're playing Gibraltar on Saturday, there's an argument to be made, a good strong argument, that we don't really need a defensive midfielder, and that's why I was kind of torn between maybe Conor Horahan, who's also doing quite well at Villa,
but late into camp,
and has an eye for a goal as well from midfield, along with Hendrick. But as I said, there needs to be, like, I've named two attacking wingers as well, in Doherty and McLean, so there needs to be some sort of protection to
the
back four.
Your false nine and your front man.
Yeah, again, I've gone for a lad who's playing quite well, Sheffield United as well. There's three Sheffield United players in, actually. David McGoldrick. And since he's moved there in the summer, he's had 28 appearances, 12 goals. He's had a really good season, Damien. Chops and change a little bit sometimes. Also what Billy Sharp plays there, but McGoldrick is a good foil, I think, for Sean Maguire, who I've gone as the main man up front. And McGoldrick will also link in with the two midfielders, and he links things together very well. He's a very clever player.
And again, with Maguire, it's an area we're light on. Would you, like Aidan O'Brien, again, when you arrived into camp, by all accounts, arrived into camp in his civvies and togged out at the side of the pitch to take part in training. So, you know, he's not been in camp. Mm. We're low on bodies up front.
See, the argument there would probably be, had Shane Long been fit, would he have started? But again, Shane Long has had ample opportunities and enough chances. He's not going to get you the goals. I think Sean Maguire, if he gets a run in the team, Damien, and he's had a bit of a stop start with Preston, but I think there's huge potential in Shawnee. But he, like we already seen last week, Mick, Preston don't train, don't use Sean, don't let him train on the Monday because they're trying to mind him and look after him. Mick didn't train him on Monday, just gone even in camp, so they're following on from that protocol as well. So you have to look after him because he's had two or three hamstring injuries, which can be very, very tricky. But he's fit, so I'd start him, and I think there's a lot to come from Shawnee.
Okay, how easy a team was it to pick when you look at experience, you look at who's in form, you look at what availability has in certain areas of the field?
Yeah, I think it was an easy enough team to pick, to be honest.
Like the only one you've no Brady.
No, and the reason I haven't, and I'm a big fan of Brady, but he hasn't been playing well enough for club level, and that's the simple reason. And I think you look at the other lads who've had loads of game time all across that midfield four, and even McGoldrick, they've all played, made over 25 appearances, every one of them. Brady's had a very stop-start season, hasn't featured at all really with Burnley. So you have to earn your cap as well.
Okay, we were talking off air about the Carlo Mafia in the corner brought up Padraig Amond, who's not in the squad. You look at players like Daryl Horgan, who's going quite well at Hibs. I don't see a lot of Sunderland, but you talk to someone like Stephen Elliott, who goes there weekly, will tell you Aidan McGeady is on fire, albeit at a lower level. Like, is there a little bit of creativity that isn't in the reduced squad that could be in the reduced squad?
Possibly, and that's a fair point. And the line you used there, albeit at a lower level, Damien, I don't think we're in a position where we can use that line because a lot of the players are coming from those lower leagues, so we can't look down our nose at any player at any level, really. The one player who obviously... we heard from him there in the little interview, who I actually was seriously thinking of maybe starting him, but I think he could feature, and it comes under that bracket of the creativity. Jack Byrne, I think he has a great chance because of the opposition as well.
We've texted in saying that you're raving about a Shamrock Rovers player, which means we must need to test your temperature.
I think I'm all against him there.
Lads, is anything less than 6 points against Gibraltar and Georgia an absolute disaster? Would potentially end any chance of qualification, in my opinion, and cement our position as a very poor nation. Now, it's worth mentioning that Gibraltar did beat Armenia and Liechtenstein. I think they've had three wins in five games, albeit, you know, a couple of months back, and that's, you know, that's a team that would have had Mkhitaryan in it. So,
And again, we're not a good enough team to go and disrespect any opposition
on a plastic pitch.
Absolutely not. And they were keen to get it on that plastic pitch because obviously that's where they've picked up a couple of their wins. They'll be quite confident coming off the back of those victories as well. But at the end of the day, it's Gibraltar, and if we can't beat them, we have absolutely no right to be qualifying for any tournament.
Okay, going to have coverage on RTE Television, coverage on RTE Radio 1. We've tweeted out your team, so if you want to have a go at Alan, feel free to tweet back and he will respond to each tweet individually.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to focus as well on Northern Ireland, who start their campaign this weekend as well. Delighted to say former Northern Ireland central defender Stephen Craigan is with us. Stephen, how are you?
Good evening, boys. How are we getting on?
Not too bad at all. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us. There's a lot of optimism, I think, around Irish football. Football around the Republic of Ireland team because of the change of manager, because of the opponents we have. When we look at the Northern Ireland fixtures, these opening four games in their group, Estonia and Belarus, home and away, back to back, you could not have picked a better start to a group, could you?
Well, I think the start to the group is perfect. I think the end of the group is going to be the issue. When we've got Holland and we've got Germany to go. But I think, the message from Michael over the next couple of days, or probably probably the last couple of days, is forget what's going to happen in September, October and November. If we don't arrive at September with 12 points on the board, with Estonia home and away, Belarus home and away, it's going to be a huge ask. I think we feel it's going to be a huge ask anyway. We probably will have to beat one of Germany or Holland somewhere along the line if we're to get into the top two. But ultimately, the focus was on tomorrow night's game, Estonia at home. And it's interesting listening to Alan picking his Republic of Ireland team based on who's doing well at club form. Well, we've got a major issue because we've got a lot of guys who don't play regularly for their club. Guys like Stephen Davis, guys like Kyle Lafferty, Aaron Hughes, Gareth McCauley, Michael McGovern from Norwich City. Guys who have been, mainstays of Michael O'Neill's team. So we've got a different kind of problem. We're almost trying to keep guys fit through international football when they meet up every 3 or 4 months. So listen, it's a difficult game. There's no easy games in international football. It's an old cliche. It's true. Exact same as what Alan said about, you guys. We're not good enough to go and disrespect anybody and just turn up and expect to win the game, although we do have high hopes.
And high hopes off the back of what was a massively frustrating Nations League campaign. So I would imagine Michael O'Neill, based on how he you know, spoken, what the narrative often was around Shamrock Rovers, that he will probably try and channel the potential for the players to do themselves a little bit more justice in the early stages of this campaign.
Yeah, I think performances were better in the Nations League than what results were.
Yeah.
In fact, I probably enjoyed watching us playing more in the Nations League against Austria and Bosnia compared to the qualifiers for the World Cup 2018. We were more open, we were more attack minded, we spent more time in the ball, it was more pleasing on the eye, but ultimately we didn't win games. So I think, you know, Michael has to find the balance of being defensively strong, having an organisation about us, still have a style of play that allows us to spend time in the ball, allows us to play with two wingers high up the pitch, but also have a responsibility when we don't have the ball, we have to be compact and hard to play against. And Windsor Park over the years has always been a place where teams haven't enjoyed coming to. And I just felt as if at times in the Nations League, the opposition were able to spend time in the ball, and it was more like an open kind of game of football. And I think it's when it's like that, you know, the opposition enjoy it. And I think we have to make sure tomorrow night against Estonia, they don't enjoy the game, they don't enjoy our style we're playing against, but we're still a threat. We still have pace in the team, you know, and we can start the campaign with three big points.
But for people who might not have paid particular attention to Northern Ireland during the Nations League, that, you know, Michael has done great work to develop that team and how they play, that we're long gone beyond the point of, you know, this unfair perception of Northern Ireland being a smash and grab team against the bigger nations, that possession based football, very, very well tactically organised, and you would expect that to continue.
Well, it would, because in his press conference today he said that, you know, he's not going to change his mind. And sometimes you have to be careful, you know, if you keep, you know, chopping and changing your style and your mindset as a manager every 3 or 4 months when the players meet up, it brings confusion to the players. You know, I think, you know, you guys saw it firsthand last November when we drew 0-0 down at the Aviva, and I think Northern Ireland played very well. They had opportunities to win the game. You know, they were good in structure. Listen, Michael's a thinker. You know, anybody that knows him from his Shamrock Rovers days, he thinks about the game continually. You know, sometimes in international football, you probably have too much thinking time. You know, as I say, you've got 3 or 4 months between meetups. So you're probably continually chopping and changing. You're watching games. You're going to watch clubs train. You probably get a vision of what you want. And then you turn up in international football and 4 players who were in that vision suddenly aren't fit or aren't match fit. And then suddenly it changes again. So, listen, it's a difficult job. You know, no doubt about it. I think we will attack the game tomorrow night. I think he said today that we have to attack the games. We have to go after them. We need to win them. There's no point in sitting about hoping we win. We have to go and force the issue. But again, ultimately, we still have to have our defensive responsibility and mindset that we don't lose.
Stephen, I'm a huge fan of Michael O'Neill, and obviously he's done an amazing job. But you touched on it there, and like you, I enjoyed watching them in the Nations League because they have transformed themselves into a more possession-based team, and they were really good to watch and unlucky with the results. But the dilemma amongst, I suppose, the fans, or what do you feel the general consensus is? Would they prefer to be playing the football the way they are and being unlucky not getting results, or be ugly and just get results?
I think you could probably answer that yourself, Alan.
Yeah.
Couldn't you? You know, which I understand your point, because it's as if the Nations League, I wouldn't mean it didn't matter. Of course it mattered. You know, we ended up almost getting relegated, or we did get relegated from pot two. But the fans almost took that upon, we brought some new players into the squad, there was a distinct change in style, they enjoyed what they were doing, now they want to see the other side as well. You know, they want to see that nice, pretty football, but they also want to see the ugly side, which probably has been attached to Northern Ireland over the years. If, you know, when things are going against us, or when, you know, we're under a little bit of pressure, can we still punch back? You know, so it is finding the balance, and that's the difficult, you know, job as an international manager. As I said, you don't always get time with the players. You don't always get the players you want. But ultimately, you know, football is about winning. The fans enjoyed going to Euro 2016. They enjoyed getting to the playoffs of World Cup 2018. I think they're realistic enough to look at Germany and Holland and think, we're going to have to do something special to get out of this group and come in the top two. And I think we are.
But you'd be confident of 6 out of 6 this weekend?
When you play for Northern Ireland, you're never confident of anything, unfortunately. But yes, I'm going to go against McGrain. I would be confident of 6 points. I really would. I think it's, you know, 2 games we have to get after. The players will know that. The crowd will be up for it. Let's get the first 3, and then let's get a couple of days behind us. Let the, you know, feel good factor come about. I think we only won 2 of our last 13 games, friendlies and qualifying games, you know, competitive games. So it's been a long time since we've won a few games. So hopefully this weekend we can win both.
Stephen, before you go, can I ask you one question?
Absolutely.
How annoying is Chris Sutton?
See, no matter how annoying you think he is, double that. That's how annoying he is.
I watched the two of you, and at some point I'm saying to myself, all right, Stephen's going to deck him now any moment.
I know. I've had to hold myself back on numerous occasions.
Just to contextualise this.
It's a part of being
this.
Professional, you have to sometimes just grit your tongue and get on with
of
it.
Course, just
to contextualise this, Stephen does punditry on BT alongside Chris Sutton, where if you saw the great video of... Sorry, I shouldn't take sides, but if you saw the infamous video of Chris Sutton being absolutely cleaned out of it by a fellow pundit, that was Stephen. I want you to stay with us for a moment, if you would. Incidentally, talking about Germany coming down the tracks and the lack of Premier League footballers, Leroy Sané back in the Germany team tonight ahead of their friendly with Serbia. So it's the new regime for Yogi Löw, having got rid of so many established players. I want to play you a very short clip of Declan Rice from his interview with the English FA's YouTube page yesterday, just to again contextualise that it's propaganda as much as it is an interview. And here is Declan Rice on preparing to play for England potentially this weekend.
Just want to ask you off the back of the call-up, I mean, obviously the decision to opt to play for England over the Republic of Ireland, obviously that's a serious decision that you probably thought about a lot. Talk us through it.
Yeah, you know, really tough decision. I think everyone knows my situation with the Republic of Ireland. I've obviously played there in the youth setups, but you know, I had to make a decision that, you know, that was best for me. As you can hear, I am English, you know, I'm from England. And it was really good playing for Ireland. You know, now I'm just looking forward to the future and pulling on the England shirt. And, you know, I think I've just got to look forward now and forget about the past.
There's times I wish this programme was on Facebook Live just so people could see your face. Stephen, there's two ways that people could look at this from a Republic of Ireland perspective. One is the guys had an opportunity to play at maybe a more significant international level. And one underlying could be potentially it's karma coming to bite us in the backside in light of some of the players that we've recruited over the years. What have you made of all of this looking in from the outside?
First of all, I'm not surprised. You know, and I'll tell you why I'm not surprised, because the likes of our lads who were born in Northern Ireland, James McLean, Shane Duffy, Darren Gibson, you know, they were involved in the youth setup. They were born in Northern Ireland. So for me, they had an affinity with Northern Ireland because they were born there. It doesn't mean to say they wanted to play for Northern Ireland, but they did through the system. Declan Rice, I think it's a grandparent. You know, he had no affiliation with, you know, with the Republic of Ireland. He wasn't born there. He was born in England. He grew up in England. And when it comes to the choice of playing for England or the Republic of Ireland, I feel for me, he was always going to pick England. You know, whether he was going to become a full England international or not, I don't know. And I know he played through the youth setup, but when it came to the crunch, if he was good enough and England asked him the question, for me, he was always going to go and play for England. I'm born in Northern Ireland. If I had a choice of playing for another country, I probably would have done. But if the choice had came to me to play for my country or a country where, you know, who I could play for, I would have chosen my own country. So I can see where he's coming from.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people can see where he's coming from. And it's the rule is really the issue. I think that if we look at this somewhat objectively, it's a ludicrous situation for the sports governing body to allow player or country to be in.
Yeah, listen, it's for me, it totally exposes young players. You know, and it gives false hope to countries who might think they have a player. It puts young players in a difficult situation. It could, you know, it's something that hangs over their head. Listen, we're well used to it. And, my mindset's always been, if you don't want to play for Northern Ireland, that's fine, go somewhere else. I have absolutely no issue with it. I know there was, you know, I'd put a tweet out about people, just get over it, move on, start moaning and deal with it. Because that's effectively what you have to do. Because if you spend so much time on thinking what could have been, what might have been, you don't get the chance to move on. Declan Rice has decided he doesn't want to play for the Republic of Ireland, he wants to play for England. Fine. It's happened, as I say, many a time for Northern Ireland. The IFA have invested lots of money and time and young players trying to bring them through. We always have that threat hanging over that one day they might want to go and play for the Republic of Ireland. That's fine. That doesn't change how we coach players. It doesn't change our system. It doesn't change our setup. You know, we've lost more than two or three. So, listen, we have to deal with it and move on. It's not nice, and I think it's something that, you know, dreadfully has to be changed quickly. Or, you know, it just causes a lot of confusion.
Alan, last word on Rice.
I'm sick of... I gave the last word on Rice about 3 months ago. I'm sick of it. Move on, as Stephen said. Move on.
OK. Stephen, wish you well this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
See you, Stephen.
Thanks very much, boys.
Good
pleasure.
To talk to you. Stephen Craigan with us there. Very enjoyable chat, and we will look forward to chatting to him again.
Very good, yeah. They are funny, himself and Sutton.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you and me. People think we hate each other. We've talked about this before. Simon Cox at Southend, you can bear witness to the body language, Alison. Like there's love and respect between the two of us.
When I lunge across the desk now with a two-footer, Alison.
That's why I'm increasingly bringing rugby players in to mind me. Simon Cox at Southend has 14 goals in 35 games at a lower level, but if McGeady gets a chance, then why not Cox? I'd agree with Alan's team. Not sure about Maguire, but not many options, so he's worth a go. What's happened to former captain David Myler?
He was on loan at Coventry, wasn't he? The last I heard, he wasn't even playing.
Lads, we have to be serious about football in this island. An All-Ireland team backed up by a professional league could transform football on this island.
Will we ever see it?
No.
No, I'm with you. Never.
No.
Never, ever.
You would sort out Brexit quicker than you would sort out an All-Ireland Association football team.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 7.